Welcome to Filmstrip. These podcasts are spoiler-filled as we discuss the plots, characters, and themes of the films in review. All content used or discussed in these podcast episodes is the property of the respective owners and used under the Fair Use Act, Section 504, C2, Title 17.
Welcome to Filmstrip. I'm Ron.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we are here to talk about April Fool's Day. Not the holiday, not the concept, we're talking about the actual movie, April Fool's Day. No fooling. Starring Deborah Foreman, Jay Baker, Deborah Goodrich. Two Deborahs in the same movie. It's just not right.
What?
Ken Olanth, Griffin O'Neill, Clayton Robner, Amy Steele, and Thomas F. Biff Tannen Wilson. Written by Danilo Bach and directed by Fred Walton. Probably not related to the Waltons who own Walmart, but you never know. Released in 1986 on a $5 million budget, it grossed $13 million at the box office and was a surprise hit that spring. Lindsay, April Fool's Day. Do you have any background at all with this movie?
I don't. I saw it for the first time today. That's my one and only experience. I remember vaguely seeing the movie cover, like at the video store in the horror section. I recognized that and I thought, oh, maybe I have seen this, but I had not. So this was my first time. First time. What about you, Ron?
I've seen this movie many times, but like you, the most noteworthy feature of it to me was the VHS cover that you would see in the video store, because It features a whole bunch of people like kind of cowering in the background around a dinner table. And in the back, you've got a girl with her hair braided into a noose. One hand, she's holding up a thing of, I think, champagne. And the other hand, hiding behind her back, is a knife. And it is very dramatic. And it is one of those covers that when you walked into your local mom and pop video store in 1987 or 88, it would be burned immediately into your memory and would be a thing you can never forget. And yeah, sadly for me, that is one of those things.
Is it sad, though? I feel like, I don't know. Those movie covers were iconic. We don't get that really anymore. I mean, you kind of do when you're scrolling through the streaming platform of your choice. I'm going to hop right into it and do a quick plot summary, because we've got some details about the plot that we want to do a little bit more of a deep dive into outside of the plot summary. So this film opens in a basement where one of the lead characters, Muffy St. John, is doing some cleaning / making final preparations for the weekend. At the same time, a group of Muffy's exceedingly horny college friends are gathering at a dock to be picked up by a ferry to join her for the weekend at what we find out is her quaint summer home, millionaire summer home. And on the ferry, just before it reaches the shore of their destination, we get our first gruesome April Fool's joke with a game of stretch, which is where really smart people throw a switchblade and then they both stretch to catch it. Skip, an archer playing, Skip catches the blade right in the stomach and falls overboard, but not really. But that's followed up by another gruesome, not so April Fool's-y event, where the ferry crewman is crushed by the boat while trying to tie it off, but not dead. It just kind of crushes his face. Or did it? Now, the group is rattled when they get off the boat, but or off the ferry, but Muffy leads them up the dock and takes them on a tour of her quaint summer home. Some more weird April Fool's shit happens. We're talking cat clock eyes behind a painting, broken doorknobs, water spraying from the sink, whoopee cushions, all the classics. Then some murdery April Fool's shit happens, only interrupted by horny teenage stuff, which happens to be when the first dead body is found. But after that, well, I guess they're not teenagers. They're probably in their early 20s. So I'll back that up a little bit, because they're all seniors in college at this point. So each of them get offed one at a time in unique ways. We assume at this point by Muffy's crazy identical twin, Buffy. until it's only Kit and Rob left. And right before Kit is murdered and Rob is yelling, "I love you," so wholesome, Kit is pushed into a room where all of her supposedly previously murdered friends are still alive and well and just relaxing in the parlor. And April Fools, we find out that this has been a very elaborate ploy for Muffy to prove to her dad that she can make money off of this summer home by providing this one-of-a-kind experience for groups. She had to test it, and she did on her friends, and it worked. And the film ends with a final murder, but not actual murder, April Fool's joke, and a Jack in the Box winking at the camera. So, short and
Good plot.
sweet.
Yeah, good plot summary. It's one of those movies where there's not a lot of plot, but a lot of stuff happens, I think.
Agreed, agreed. So that's the thick of it. I want to unpack some of these murders as part of the meat of this podcast. And I think we can go a little in order. So I already mentioned the first April Fool's joke with the switchblade stretch game that they were playing. It kind of sets the whole movie up for nothing's going to actually be real. But I totally got swept away in all of these murdery plots. And I was like, well, this is a horror movie. So, gee, I guess they are real. So the end of the movie did get me, I'll admit it. So the first boat face smashing, not a real murder. But that one I felt was still kind of unbelievable. I don't know about you, Ron. And I know this is also a first-time watcher with someone who's watched it a bunch of times. But did you always think, like the first time you watched it, were you like, that guy's definitely coming back at the end of the movie?
No, the first time I watched it, I didn't pick out what was happening until the very end of the movie when the reveal happens. So it all took me completely by surprise. But I thought what they were doing at the time was they were setting up, oh, Smashface is going to get out of the hospital. He's going to have like a bag over his head or something, and he's going to be the April Fool's Day killer.
Yeah, that's kind of what I felt. I knew he was going to come back somehow, but I really expected it to be in a more murdery type of way.
Which I mean, this is a Frank Mancuso joint. Frank Mancuso is the guy who produced all of the Friday the 13th movies. So I thought maybe he was like, "Well, we got this deformed Jason head laying around the prop department and some spare sacks with one eye cut out. Maybe we'll just, recycle some of those into this other little flick we're making up in Canada."
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, but no, it. I have to admit, it got me the first time. And when it's been a while since I've watched the movie, it takes me a little while to realize, oh, wait, yeah, this is what's going on here, like it did this time. Because I've watched it in years, but I've
Yeah.
watched it often enough that I can follow it, blindfolded.
Oh, it did get me. I'm gonna go kind of linearly here. So when Muffy brings everybody in and they all have their own little place settings with the dolls, I was like, all right,
Yeah.
the April Fools and Smash Face, like those were, bloody, but the dolls, straight up creepy. And I love that it was in this big fancy house with the plastic forks and the hot dogs. I have been to big parties in big mansions, and every one of them, I'm not kidding, has served hot dogs.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never been to a big party in a fancy house. I have, however, eaten many hot dogs by lakes. So,
Yeah, it feels right.
I guess that's kind of what you do when you're at the lake, whether you've got, whether you're in a mansion or you're in a trailer.
Yeah, I guess. And I mean, it's nice to see the groups like split off, and we get to learn a little bit about each group as they're doing their thing. So on the ferry, we have the split, And in the kitchen, when the girls are making dinner, I heating up cans of beans and hot dogs, and they're playing that Cosmopolitan, the magazine.
The Cosmo
I can't
quiz
think. Yeah, the
thing. Yeah.
Cosmo quiz. That's what it is.
Now, did you read any of the Tribune, IMDb Tribune trivia about
I
this?
did. Yeah, that was totally improv'd.
Yeah,
Or
that's
they were
really.
doing it on set first, and then the director overheard them, and they were like, let's just see what happens. And then it made it into the movie.
Yeah, which is a really interesting. It's nice to have that kind of loose loose structure to a movie where you can afford to do that kind of thing. And I also like that they got to get the cast together in the hotel prior to shooting so they can hang out and kind of build, you know, rapport with each other. Because I feel like that does kind of
It makes a difference.
I feel that rapport kind of comes through the screen, so we get that these people are friends or at least friendly with one another.
Yeah, it really felt like, I feel like I don't say this about a lot of horror movies, especially a lot of horror movies that I feel like we tend to review, or at least I tend to be on the reviews of the show, but the acting felt very natural for something in this genre. And that probably is why. So,
No,
as
I think you've got like a really good point there, 'cause I feel like that it's a lot less stylized than a lot of the stuff we have on the show, and it's a lot less stylized than a lot of the stuff that, you know, actually comes out. 'Cause if you compare this group of kids to like any group of kids from one of the Friday the 13th movies, which it's directly paralleled to because of the whole setup and the production company and everything, these kids. While there are too many of them, they feel a lot more like real people than a Friday the 13th kid.
Yeah. I agree. And we got more time, I feel like, with each of them than we got with the Friday the 13th kids too. Like we got more personality, more backstory out of each character than you normally would in a Jason flick or
Yeah, and like.
any of the slasher flicks.
Yeah, and like we established that these aren't just, you know, these are kids who are going to be graduating college and have like futures and plans and aspirations and stuff. And like you don't get any of that in a Friday the 13th movie because it's just like, all right, where's the beer? Where's the weed? Where's the no pants? That's what
Yep.
we're at this camp for. But this feels like it feels vaguely like one of those, you know, one of those other. What's that college? What's that movie about those kids who come together at the senior year of their college and it's all about like their aspirations and stuff?
I
That's
have
extremely
no
vague, but
idea.
it's one of those like prestigious drama movies. Yeah, we're not going to cut any of this part out because like none we're not neither one of us is going to figure out what movie I'm talking about before we're done, so that's fine. But it feels like it should be
We can
like
put it
a
in the show notes, maybe, if we
Bold of
figure
you
it
to
out.
think I'm going to remember what I'm talking about after this, but it's one of those. It feels like one of those movies that feels like it should be like a serious-ish drama, not what it actually is, which is like a, you know, a goofy slasher movie. So you're in this like, you know, you've got these couples that are established, and there's a little bit of that. Well, what are we going to do after college? You know, are you going to the West Coast, am I going to the East Coast kind of deal? And it plays it a little straighter and more seriously than most of these movies would.
Yeah. And I love that moment at the table when they all ask and none of them know what they're gonna do. And I was like, yeah, of course they don't. What senior in high school or college, really? I mean, sometimes in high school, you know what college you're gonna go to or what trade school you're gonna go to. But when you're done being a senior in college, especially if you majored in something like theater or English, you have no idea. That's me for anyone who doesn't know. I'm not trying to target anyone specifically. Don't at me. But
I feel as an English major, I feel specifically targeted.
Right. Yeah. So I'm targeting both of us, Ron. But I mean, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I just wanted a job that and I took the first one I got and then made moves from there. But I just like how it seems like it was a nice like group of people. I think some of them had money, but a couple of them came from almost nothing. And the people who were expected to know what they were going to do also had no idea. So it was a nice little moment between everyone. And then we get another nonviolent April Fool's joke, classic leaking cup when they all try to drink that, I guess, champagne or something, and it all spills all over them. These were big, like, just slapstick things. The whoopee cushion thing was funny. The first whoopee cushion when he sits down and everyone looks at him, like, I don't even remember what character it was. Chaz, Raz.
Yeah, I think it was Chaz,
Yeah.
but there was a couple of good whoopee cushion moments,
Yeah.
and I liked the chair that when you leaned back too far, the legs gave out and you fell into the floor. That was a good one. And it's funny because it seems like the gags start out, the first gag, the first, gags we see are like the knife play and the more dangerous kind of looking stuff. Then we get to the house, it's like, oh, these are just like normal. Somebody went to the magic shop with $50 and bought a bunch of gag stuff.
Right.
But as the evening progresses, and as I'm going to assume people get more and more drunk, the pranks start getting a little weirder and creepier.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was some, it's another good point. I feel like there was some drinking in this film, but not a ton. I feel like there was no big, like, debauchery party. Dancing naked around a campfire type of thing. It was just the only one really drinking was, and I'm going to apologize to anyone listening. I had a really hard time remembering pretty much every character's name in this movie. I don't know if they just didn't say them enough or if I wasn't paying attention, but the guy who blamed himself for the crew, the mate on the ferry getting crushed for crush face.
Oh yeah, that was I want to say that was
Buck, maybe? Skip?
Buck was the guy who got his face crushed. I feel like
Buck was the
it
guy that got his face cut crushed.
yeah, I feel
Okay.
like it was Skip who
I think it was Skip. Yeah, I think you're right. We'll
Yeah,
go with Skip.
we'll go with Skip 'cause
Yeah.
honestly in the end it doesn't actually matter.
No.
But no. But yeah, it's the movie sprinkles these weird little like serious moments throughout it like that. Like if this was a Friday the 13th movie, they would have just completely blown off the fact that a dude got his face crushed and there would be no like serious thought given to it afterwards, unless it was an excuse to have the guy drink a six pack by himself and then wander off into the woods to get knifed.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he does wander into that shed and a cat jumps on him and he throws it off and then he gets grabbed. That's all we see is an arm grabbing him. So there's our first like murdery murder, but not real murder. But the first time we think someone's getting actually murdered is in that woodshed thing, boathouse, I guess. It would be a boathouse on a lake. And then nobody knows where he is until the next morning, where everyone's just playing a rousing game of kickball on the lawn or whatever it is. But
I think it's soccer because we're supposed to establish that these are like 80s douchebags and
oh,
soccer was
yeah.
the big deal in the
And they
80s.
went
Like,
to, that's true. And they all went to Vassar.
yeah, or some other prestigious college. I think Muffy or Buffy is the one who went to Muffy went to Vassar. Did they all go to Vassar?
I think so. Because they all talk about being in the same classes.
Oh,
And
that's
that's how
right.
they all knew Muffy, because she was in XYZ and
Econ 3, 4 to 5, says
yeah.
the fake Quaid brother.
Yep. Yeah. So then they realize he's dead, and our sweet couple who make it to the end of the movie decide to, do a couple things in the boathouse. And then we see the dead body. Who is the second one? Who is our second not so dead body?
That would be Arch, I believe. Well,
Yeah.
I think
I think you're
so.
right, because he gets
Kit
strung
catches
up.
a glimpse of Skip's dead body, and then Arch and Nan are the next two people to disappear. And that's when they found out that, hey, this big rich people house we're in has no water, even
Yeah.
though the girl keeps getting sprayed in the face by the broken water faucet.
I say, I'm looking at Arch while I watch the movie, and I was like, oh, what else was he in? And I IMDb, and wouldn't you know, we've got Biff from Back to the Future. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yep, that's
The
it. So if anyone
very
watching
same.
this, yep. So if anyone watching this had that same moment, I was like, I know that face. I couldn't believe I didn't call it. I was thinking he was from something newer, and I wasn't wrong, but I just didn't put two and two together. And they
Yeah,
didn't know
this.
about the snake.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That snake scene is fun because when the guy kicks the snake, you can see that the tarp they have to make it look like dirt moves when the snake moves.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. They must have shot that one in a studio or something, or didn't like the way the ground looked and had to cover it up. But yeah. So we get
Happens.
Arch and Nan disappear. Everybody goes looking for them. And that's when Nikki and Hal go to the well to get water.
Yep.
And of course, the rope is dry rotted. So when Hal goes to throw the bucket into the water, the bucket comes flying loose of the water. And Nikki, the genius that she is like, I'll climb down to this creepy old well. And she climbs down, several rungs break off, and then she falls into the water. A couple rungs break off, and she's like, well, I'm stuck here.
Yep.
But
Screaming.
that's what happens is the severed heads of Skip and Arch come bobbing to the surface alongside the body of Nan. So if you wondered where they went, they are in the well taking a swim. But the fake Quaid brother is able to crawl down in there and help her get out. That's the first real sign, aside from a brief glimpse of a gray-faced dead Skip, that things are getting a little weird in this place and people are starting to die. And
Yeah,
it
and honestly, that's where it got me. It was that, because up to the well point, I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. And we see Muffy acting all weird that morning too. And of course, we know that we're meant to think that she's her twin sister, Buffy, but we don't know that yet in the movie. But she's acting all weird, and I was like, what is she a My first thought was, is she a werewolf? What is happening? Because I didn't know. Because, she was acting funky. I feel like a werewolf would act.
Yeah, she is acting very. She immediately starts to, like, the next day, she immediately starts to be, like, suspicious
Yeah.
looking, and her style of dress kind of changes, which is, I think, them leading you to the path that maybe this is not who we think it is. But I
Right.
didn't think that she would be aware. I didn't know. If she's going to be a werewolf or not. That would be a great twist for this movie if it was like secret werewolf.
This is where my brain starts writing in the movie that I think it could be. So I went werewolf, and then I never, maybe because it, I don't know, maybe I haven't watched a movie where it's been done in a while, but I never thought evil twin. I thought, oh, it's gonna be one of these like super creepy movies where she's like stealing the souls of people and putting them in dolls, and maybe her dead mom is actually her because she like somehow is
Oh, nice.
channeling her mom's, soul or whatever into her own body. And of course, it was so much simpler than that. So I'm writing a way more complicated story in my head than it needed to
And I
be.
was always expecting it to be like a situation where we would get some sort of big reveal, like, I can't believe we were so mean to Muffy. We should have been much nicer to her. She's so cool after all. And here we were like picking on her, or so-and-so got her pregnant and she had to get an abortion or whatever, which is will be picked up. Is that
Think that was
Kit?
Nan.
That's Nan, yeah. I think that's
Yeah.
Nan who has the hint, the implied slash said abortion
Yeah.
thing.
And yeah, that's why she got so upset about that baby crying tape
Yeah,
right outside the shower.
which in retrospect, once you see the end of this movie, you're gonna be like, man, Muffy was not a good friend to these people. Not just for that, but like for some of the shit she put old Nan through. It's like, it's just, I don't know. That seems kind of cruel to me.
It kind of does now that you put it that way. And didn't they? She did kind of apologize at the end about the crueler things that she did, but she phrased it as clothing specifically. I don't know. I think
Yeah,
that's what she
I think she
said.
thought people were more upset about the weird bondage gear they kept finding and less upset about the "you outed me for having an abortion in college that I didn't want to tell people about."
She really didn't she really didn't read the room on that one. But
Yeah.
Nan stuck in there. She still
Yeah.
played the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she probably didn't have much of a choice. I feel like maybe there was some financial compensation going around.
That would make sense.
Especially for, some of the people who like were new to the game or who were pretending to be dead longer. But yeah,
Yeah.
as the weekend goes on, more and more people are starting to disappear. And as it turns out, there's no way to get off the island until Monday. And also the phone lines are dead because it's a movie and phone lines never work in movies. But yeah,
No.
they're stuck there until the ferry comes back on Monday. And one on one, they start disappearing while primarily Kit and Rob, are the ones skulking around looking for like actual clues. And that's when they come across the picture of the two twins in Muffy's father's study.
Study.
And they realize that for every Muffy, there is an equal and opposite Buffy. So that sets up the first quote unquote twist in this movie, the killer evil twin, which is a classic one.
It is. And I can't believe that wasn't one of the things that popped into my head. It just didn't. But
But would it be
was
would
good.
but but would both Muffy and Buffy be werewolves in your secret where
Oh.
in your secret werewolf movie?
I mean, boy,
I
you
feel
really
like
need one werewolf, but
one's a werewolf and one's a vampire.
I was kind of going down that road, but werewolves, actually, I'll tell you, werewolves have become less of a hole in my repertoire of movie consuming. But yeah, werewolf vampire, it's like Twilight, but not.
And to me in that movie, one of them is trying to kill all the people and the other is trying to protect all the people.
Yeah.
So you've got the disheveled werewolf sister coming down in the morning and is like and she looks like hell because she's been awake all night keeping the vampire at bay. And then at night the vampire comes out and that's when people start disappearing and
See, I'm with you. I was about to ask, well, which one would want to kill the people and which one would want to save the people, the werewolf or the vampire? I think I'm on board with that. The werewolf would want to save them.
Well, I'm just operating off of old White Wolf gaming rules, where the werewolves were the quota were mostly good guys, and the vampires were mostly indifferent at best to humans. So I can't shake that hard. I started playing those games when I was like 14, and I can't shake the that hard-coded fact out of my brain. So
It's true. And also, Professor Lupin in Harry Potter is a werewolf, so, and he's pretty
that's a good
cool.
point. That's a very good point. And he is very cool.
But now that we've gone down the train of rewriting this partial movie, where, I don't even remember what we were talking about. I like our werewolf vampire rewrite.
Well, that's just a thing we would normally be doing towards the end of the movie, where we get our rewrite set, our rewrite fun
That's
segment.
true.
So we're just gonna have to Shatner some lines or something.
Yeah,
But yeah,
yeah.
we're left off after the discovery of Muffy slash Buffy being a thing, and that's when Kit and Rob try to escape in the boat, realize they don't have the key, then they have to come and double back and go back into the big house, only to find that it's been locked up, so they have to sneak through a conveniently unlatched window in the basement, which, if you've ever seen any movie, you know this is where something crazy is going to happen. And that's where they find the severed head of Muffy in the basement, and the confirmation of in the way of a growth chart scratching on the wall that Muffy and Buffy are
Oh
the
yeah,
two
yep.
twins. And it's like,
And that's when they put it together.
did you really bring your children down into this creepy murder basement to scratch their heights into the wall? Because that seems like, I've got a now 5-year-old. She turned 5 like 2 weeks ago. So happy belated birthday to my child, who will
Yay.
probably never listen to this podcast because she gets enough of me talking to her in her normal life. But yeah, I wouldn't take her down into our cellar and like scratch her height into the brick wall with like a knife or something. I would
Gosh.
probably do it on a door frame like a normal person.
Yeah. Or they have those cute little height charts now that you just don't ruin the wall and do the magic marker thing or whatever. I don't know. I don't have kids. I've never done it with my pets, but maybe I should.
I would like to see you like holding Puck up by the scruff of the neck and like drawing a line over the top of his head, being like,
Gosh. He would not.
"Thanks."
I think he's in a shrinking phase now. He's just my little old man cat now. But
Do cats get shorter
I
though?
don't know. He has gotten thinner. He's gotten svelte. I mean, in a good way. He's not actually, this is my other cat's birthday today. Happy birthday, Widgie. He never makes an appearance. He's a little antisocial. But Puck, I don't think they don't eat as much when they get older. But that's it. I haven't noticed. They do kind of get shorter because they walk weird on their feet, like they get arthritis and stuff too, just like any human or other bigger animal would. But yeah, I should try that.
That.
But I don't have anything to compare it to, so
And when Lindsay shows up to our next recording with an eye patch, we will know what happened. And it's not, she's adopted some cool new pirate aesthetic. It's a, because she
Turns
tried.
out measuring your cat is not a good idea. Let this be a lesson. I'm gonna be smush face for the rest of my life.
Yeah, she's gonna have that half her face is gonna be deformed, and but speaking of deformed face, we've now
Great
crashed
segue.
hard into the end of the movie. Buffy shows back up to menace the couple. They run upstairs, they get separated, with Kit going in one direction and Rob getting, is it Rob? Yeah.
Yes.
Rob getting locked in the what is it, the pantry, I guess. Yeah, I think he gets locked in the pantry,
Yeah.
some sort of rich people thing that I don't have. And that's when we get, after some menacing and chasing and threatening, that's when we get the big reveal. She Kit goes crashing into the living room, and lo and behold, all of her dead friends are just sitting there having a conversation or pretending to have a conversation, but not talking so they won't interfere with the sound of the tape. But they're all there hanging out, and they all kind of ignore her for a little too long, I think, before Buffy comes in and they all turn around and it's like, surprise, April Fools. Turns out the whole movie was a joke. Meanwhile, poor Rob is like wetting his pants, trapped in the pantry, screaming and pounding on the door because he thinks his girlfriend's getting disemboweled because of all the screaming he hears in the next room. That is until Smushface shows up in the pantry out of nowhere, and then Rob really starts screaming. Like the cliche is right, the scream queen, but I feel like Ken Oland here is auditioning to be the world's first Scream King because he is just
Oh,
going for it.
he nailed it. He did not calm down either. The set, like, even after he saw everyone, he was just confused, but still screaming.
Yeah, he spends the rest of this movie confused and terrified.
Yeah,
Even after
it's he was, even after they explained it to him.
he still looks a little uneasy, which you would.
Yeah.
And then once he stops screaming or externally screaming, I'm sure he's still internally screaming. Muffy goes through her whole setup, which was that she has wanted to turn the mansion into a resort, offering a weekend of staged horror. She got a friend who does special effects. She got some of the townspeople to cooperate. She got her uncle involved, and all of the victims, after they were made into victims in air quotes, agreed to take part once they were explained, this is what I'm doing and this is what's going on. And then everyone has a big laugh about it, except for probably the two traumatized finals survivors. But Muffy gives everyone their own bottle of champagne, and I suppose that makes it a little bit better. Would that be enough to make it up to you for being, presumably having wet through at least one to two pairs of pants by this point?
Oh man. Oh yeah, they even joke about people going through, or at least one of them. Go Biff. He went through.
Yeah. Arch.
Yeah. Arch
Yeah.
went through a pair of pants. I think at that point I would just be so happy that it wasn't real. I definitely would have taken it better if I was one of the first people that was offed, because then you're just hanging out at this beautiful lake house, relaxing, I assume. I assume she had places to kind of set him up to hang out for the 24 hours that this was all going on.
Yeah, they kind of show another little like guest house kind of thing at one point that it was dark from the outside, but I think I kind of see that that was where everybody was secreting off to enjoy themselves. Like, I feel like if you're like Skip and Nan, like the first couple of people to go, Arch, then you're probably okay with this. But if you are Kit or Rob, you're like, I'm never talking to any of these maniacs again.
I think too, I feel like there's a potential, I don't know, I got the vibe that Muffy was potentially going to offer them all to be kind of a part of the business, because none of them knew what they were going to do after college anyway. So that probably would have made up for it a little bit too. And maybe that was a conversation that was had after the fact, but that was kind of the impression that I got.
Yeah, I definitely feel like there's a little bit of that kind of and you guys can come and be part of this, and it would be pretty fun, I think, if you were part of the stock company of like, we rented this house to 10 random people and eight of them are in on the bit and the last two aren't. Kind of I don't know if you ever saw the reality show the Joe Schmo show that was
No.
on. It was on like Spike TV before it was Spike TV. It came on after wrestling, and it was basically a reality show where everyone in the show was an actor except the main guy. And that the whole thing was about this main guy and how he interacts with these people who are playing these specific parts. And they all had like specific stock reality show characters that they were playing. And then there's just this one normal person just kind of bouncing around between them.
Oh my
And
gosh.
it
That's
was,
hilarious.
in retrospect, it was super manipulative, and I feel bad for that guy. But at the time, it was like,
Well,
this is a fascinating idea for a show.
how many seasons did it go?
They
You
had
know?
2 seasons. They had the first season with the first Joe, and then I think they changed it to, I want to say it was the thing where there was like a millionaire, but he wasn't a real millionaire. And
Oh, I remember
it
some. I
was,
didn't see it, but
I could be conflating that with, I could be mashing two shows together in my brain because,
could be. Brains do that. Memories are only 20% accurate.
yeah, and mine, especially in that time period in my life, is much less so.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell you like half a dozen jokes that they made on Most Extreme Elimination Challenge, which also aired at that same time.
That can be a part of, we should add that to our outline for future episodes. Ron has to tell a joke from this very specific show that he watched years ago.
That would be terrible.
I
I don't know if anybody remembers that show but me, but I hope people do. But so we've kind of gone through the plot of the movie, and we've gotten to the very end.
we've done our rewrite. Really?
We've
I don't
done a
know. Is there
re
anything else you would rewrite about this besides the werewolf versus vampire?
I don't know. I think Secret Werewolf, Secret Vampire is a pretty good rewrite for this movie. The only other thing I would possibly do is make the initial prank moments a little less annoying, because like it feels like in the early in the
Yeah.
movie it's going to be a bunch of the character Shelley from Friday the 13th Part 3 is this like annoying, I do pranks and close-up magic kind of guy, and it gets. It veers a little towards that, a little too hard for me at times. But yeah, other than that, I think the only thing that would make this movie better would be is if they had like more than just the one needle drop song at the end.
Yeah, that would have been good. I mean, and that was my only, I mean, the score itself was good. I thought it had all of the right creepy dings and all the right creepy moments, and you knew what was about to happen. But yeah, there really was just that one song. Though I don't, because you watched it on Pluto too, right? That's where I watched it. But and I, so I
Yeah.
don't know if like the VHS or DVD or any other way you've consumed it, but the start of the credits was this really crazy song, and it went right into it. And I just have it written down, too bad you're a wacko song at the end. I don't know what the name of that song is, Ron, or if you can help me out here with it, but
Oh, yeah, I that
that was like a real hard left turn from
That song
the
is
rest of the movie.
bananas, but I have no idea like what the name of it is. I'm gonna try to I'm gonna have to look up the soundtrack, I guess. Let's see.
Yeah, it was the very first song in the credits, and it really is, especially after that final scene. Because I was waiting for it. I was like, no way this movie ends happy. There's got to be a murder at the end. That's the formula, right? And the murder wasn't actually a murder. It was another April Fool's. And which I didn't hate, but it goes from that real high energy, high anxiety, someone's getting murdered. Oh no, they're not. With the same creepy score underneath to this crazy song to start the credits, and it was jarring to be take I mean I just I wasn't ready for it. I didn't hate it, but I was like, I'm putting that down for my needle drop, and I have no idea what this song is.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it, and all I can find is information about the orchestral score, which, like you said, is really good. It's a lot of like French horn and stuff in it. It's really a nice sound, but
The ending song from April Fool's Day, Jerry Whitman, Too Bad You're Crazy.
that would be it. Yeah, because I remember seeing the name Jerry Whitman. I'm like, who in the hell is that? And I don't even know if that's anybody that has done anything since then, but
Don't know, but give it a listen. That was a treat once I figured out it didn't, because for a second I thought it went right into showing a preview for a totally different movie.
ha!
And then I realized we were still on the credits because I watched the whole movie on my phone. So, I look away for a second and then that song pops up and I was like, what is happening? What movie are they suggesting I watch next? But no, same one. Needle drop
I
notables,
mean, let's
folks.
be honest, on your phone, on your phone is probably the best way to watch this movie.
It was great. I had like headphones in, so the sound quality was excellent. But yeah, I was just sitting at my desk, had my little phone propped up, and like I said, I told Ron earlier, I did not make Brian watch my Brian watch this movie, because horror flicks are not usually his thing. But I think he probably would have liked this one. Maybe
Yeah,
next time.
I think it's a very interesting resolution to a flick, and I do like the fake jump scare at the end where
Yeah.
drunk Muffy gets her throat cut, quote unquote, by Nan, but it's a prank being played on her after the prank she's played on everyone else.
And honestly, Nan really deserved to play a crazy prank on Muffy after the whole baby tape thing, right?
100%.
She earned that one.
That's why I thought like maybe she was coming back to really cut her throat, and it's like
Yeah.
she'd finally snapped.
This sweet theater nerd who just likes to sew and read just snapped. Would you recast any of this show or any of this film?
I don't think so, because a lot of the people that are in this were like notable actors, especially in the 80s. So I don't know who you would like, because you got Thomas F. Wilson, who goes on to be a thing. One of the girls played across Nicolas Cage in Valley Girl. One of the other girls is one of the girls from Friday the 13th Part 2.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of like kind of familiar to completely familiar people in the flick. So I don't really think you would benefit by recasting, unless you want to get like one above the title big name to be like Jamie Lee Curtis as Muffy slash Buffy or something.
Yeah. But even then, I don't know if I would. I feel like the cast just gelled really well. So that came across in their acting and in the movie. I don't know if it would work as well with other people, but if they gelled because of the hanging out in the hotel or I don't know. They all felt like they were real friends and they were really believable. I liked them. I don't think I'd recast anyone. I like the old the fairy guy too. Special note for him at the end when he was like, I didn't think I'd do any of this acting stuff.
Yeah, I thought that was very funny. But that begs the question, since we've done our recasting segment, there's one thing left we have the option to do, and I think there might be at least one good thing to Shatnerize in this movie. Lindsay, do you have any Shatner ideas?
I put a few quotes down, but I think I'm going to go with my first one. And gosh, I mean, Shatner isn't my best impression. So here we go. Nice. It's going to be better than nice. It'll be bloody unforgettable.
Your Shatner gets a little Christopher Walken.
Yeah. We'll go. I mean, like I said, I'm not great. at impressions or at Shatner impressions.
But I do have one. It's one of the better Chaz lines from the very beginning of the movie. It's
Yeah.
"Hey guy, your fly is open and your hostess Twinkie is hanging out." Except my Shatner gets very Ace Ventura, so you know.
It does. So I'm Christopher Walken and you're Ace Ventura. Good. Good for us, though. Look, we try. I mean, I'll always give it a go. I should take, there is a William Shatner impression video on YouTube, quite a few, actually. So maybe I'll hop on that.
Yeah,
See if
but
I can get any better.
if you get actually good at it, it's not going to be as much fun.
That's fair. That's fair. No shame. No shame in our fun, but maybe not great William Shatner line readings. But there you
But
have it.
having disappointed William Shatner, Jim Carrey, and Christopher Walken at the same time,
Yep.
now's the time for our final
Final
thoughts
thoughts.
and popcorn ratings for April Fool's Day. Lindsay, what are yours for this slasher movie that isn't a slasher movie?
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, I coming into it fresh, having never seen it before, I liked it so much more than I expected. It was really fun. It had twists and turns I did not expect. I clearly expected some wilder ones, but I was pleased with the outcome. And even the last murder, not murder, was surprising. And, you know, it was just, it was sweet. If you're looking for a super gory slasher movie, this is not the one for you, but I enjoyed it. I'm gonna give it a really good medium popcorn with extra butter, but like extra butter that you pumped in through a straw so it goes all the way to the bottom. You
Nice.
know what I'm talking about? Yeah, using that trick. Ron, what about you?
I agree with you. This movie is one of those movies that kind of grows on you when you get the big twist. It's actually a very popular. It was a very popular movie to show on cable because you didn't have to cut a lot out of it to make it broadcast friendly.
Yeah.
There's still enough going on. Of course, I believe it's the Swedish version cuts out all the murders completely, so the movie makes absolutely no sense, even less sense than it does this way. But yeah, I'm going to join you in that medium popcorn, but I'm going to say it is a medium popcorn with a box that starts out fine, but when you put the butter in it, the box starts to dissolve, because that's the most April Foolsiest joke I could think of that it would involve a popcorn bucket that isn't like gonna get you thrown
Perfect.
that's gonna get you thrown out of the AMC or the Regal. This is not a podcast that supports the Dune 2 popcorn bucket in any of its horrible forms. But yeah, I'm gonna join you with that medium popcorn.
Great.
Possibly I don't know what you would do to make a prank out of popcorn. Maybe secretly put a bunch of salt in there or swap the salt out for sugar so they think they're going to get some nice salty popcorn, but it's sweet. But then again,
Or like,
that makes it kettle corn, and that sounds good too.
yeah, you could do the thing where you unscrew the salt shaker top so that when they go to dump the salt or shake the salt lightly into the popcorn, it just all dumps out. And but you already paid $18 for it, so you're not gonna not eat it.
That's a good point. And I mean, the straws are, at least the last few times I've gone to the movies, the straws have always gotten holes in them anyway. So it would be like you drink half the drink and then you got to go get a new straw because the other straw has a hole in it and it won't drink after a certain portion.
Oh, is it like
So,
the paper straws?
yeah.
Paper straws are a giant April Fool's joke for everybody.
They're literally that dissolving popcorn bucket, but for a beverage. Yeah. But yeah. So that's our final thoughts and our
That's
popcorn
it.
ratings for April Fools.
Ron, do you have anything to plug?
I do. About the time this drops, I will be dropping my last review of the season for The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, the Rick and Michonne centric Walking Dead spinoff. That's actually really good. The fourth episode is a really interesting one. It's written by the Danai Gurira, who plays Michonne, and she has a background in theater. And by background, I say she has won Drama Desk awards and Obie awards and been
Sweet.
nominated for Tonys for her writing. And she wrote this one, and it's basically a two-hand. It's a two-hander with her and Andrew Lincoln, who plays Rick. And it's like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, but with occasional zombie interruptions, because it's like this all the flaws in their relationship, the will they or won't they make peace with each other or get back together. They have a very uncomfortable, very realistic argument with one another that lasts throughout most of the episode, and then they have a reunion, but at no point does it feel like they're going to end up in a happy place. At no point does it feel like, until they get to an earned resolution, that they're going to like resolve this problem in one episode. So it was really incredibly well written, and I've really been a fan of the show thus far. But yeah, you can catch that over at Den of Geek. Lindsay, you have anything to plug?
Nope, not at the moment.
Well,
That's it.
when
So,
Lindsay does have something to plug, you'll be able to see it on our social media. You can find us on all the socials at Filmstrip Pod. You can find us on the podcatcher of your choice. Please subscribe and tell others about the show and share it wherever you can, with your friends, with your enemies. If you want it to be an April Fool's joke, send him the one we did with Anthony, where we fooled him midway through the episode by changing the movie, but we recorded with him on it. That's
that was great.
probably the best April Fool's joke I've ever pulled off in my life, and it wasn't even
That
for April
was
Fools.
so fantastic.
And the fact that it all worked out and came together was a big surprise, because I just knew I was going to blow it somehow, and I didn't. So good for me. And Anthony was very happy with it too. And that's kind of all you can ask for. It's fun shenanigans, not hurtful shenanigans like Farva does. For those of you who've seen Super Troopers, which at some point has to come to the show, if it hasn't already.
Wait, we haven't done that yet?
I don't think so, but we're 400 something episodes in at this point, so who knows what
That's
we've
true.
done. But yeah, so check out our back catalog. There's lots of stuff in there, to the point where even we have trouble keeping up with it. But until next time, when we add more stuff to the catalog, I'm Ron. For Lindsay, thank you for listening to Filmstrip.
Thank you for listening to Filmstrip. You can find more episodes on our website, filmstrippodcast.com. The Filmstrip theme music is produced and performed by Frozen Lake 121. All content used or discussed in these podcast episodes is the property of the respective owners and used under the Fair Use Act, Section 504(c)(2), Title 17.